filled in if you do not have one. And 10 scriptural convictions every Christian should have. I really believe this. And just a quick review of the, I think, four we talked about so far. Number one, the Bible is the inspired word of God. And that should be in your mind and heart, that what I have here is God's word. And I'm not to tinker with it to my demise. Don't tinker with this. Don't change this. You've got the book. And but it's one thing to acknowledge this is the word of God, because you know what? The devil knows. You know, the Bible says that the devil believes, the devils believe and tremble. And I know how you, when you witness at times, I've had people tell me, well, I believe. And what does that afford you? The devils believe. And they're not in heaven. Neither are they going. So it's one thing to know something as a fact to be true. It's another thing. The Christian is one who believes and receives, who repents and receives, you see. The devil doesn't repent. And that's key. But it's one thing to acknowledge this is the word of God. It's another thing to make it my final authority in my life. And we've covered this, so we won't take time there. But as Matthew 4:4 says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Every word in this book is for me, to help me, encourage me, guide me, admonish me, and you. Amen. He gave it to us, and we're thankful for it. So let's live that way. Purpose. Number two, my purpose in life is to seek God with my whole heart, to build my goals around his priorities. So that's establishing that God is number one. And I look at the last verse that I have listed here under that is 1 Corinthians 10:31. And it says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That's putting his purposes as my priority in my life. And if that's the guide that we utilize with our decision-making and everything that we do, where we go, then God will be honored. And that's taking the first point, the Bible, final authority of my life, and applying it, making me do everything that's good, that would please him and foster his purposes and plans. And we know 2 Peter 3:9, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's one of God's priorities, the saving of men. And how important is that? Well, enough to send Jesus to the cross. So it should be my priority, see? And we should seek to witness to people, talk with people, develop relationships. Don't live cold. You know, one of the things you notice oftentimes, in general, I'm speaking, you know, they speak of the Northeast being so cold and cautious. You know, they're like the Brits as compared to the South and the Southern hospitality. Those phrases came from somewhere. There's just a general perspective. You go down South, everybody's your friend. You know, I'm speaking in generalities. But the Christian should be like the Southerner. You see, open up and make friends. Talk with everybody, you know. Ultimately, the goal is to develop a relationship to where they would acknowledge and receive what you're sharing about Jesus, you know. And so anyways, our purpose is see God your whole heart and his priorities. And then number three, my body is a living temple of God. And 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know you not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? That is so important, and that guides us to live clean, making this the final authority of my life that tells me what to do, what not to do, what would honor God, what would not honor God, what is sinful, what's not sinful, you see. And so this place, my body, the Holy Spirit of God lives within me the moment I get saved. And so this place, you know, if you're going to have somebody at your home, you're going to make sure that room is clean, neat, and everything's done, prepared for them. This should be kept clean, see. And so we should not only abstain from evil, but all appearance of evil, we're told in the Word of God. And then we discussed last week, we talked about the church. Number four, my church is to teach the foundational truths of Scripture and to reinforce my basic convictions. We noted 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, Paul says to young Timothy, the young preacher boy, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. And he clarifies, which is the church of the living God. The house of God is buildings dedicated to the living God, where is to be found the pillar and ground of truth, you see. So that's why if you go to a church and it doesn't have the book, you don't have truth. You're going to have a lot of confusion. You're going to have a lot of issues, you know. And so we need to go by the book. And so the church is supposed to teach this book, and we're to live by it. And then we talked last week about children. Number five, my children, grandchildren, belong to God. It is my responsibility to teach them scriptural principles, godly character, and basic convictions. Okay, so my children, while I call them my children and my grandchildren, I acknowledge in truth, by the word of God, they're not mine. They're God's. So what I pour into them, it's to please him. Remember, his priorities established. So we talked about that as well. We're to teach our children. The Bible tells us, Deuteronomy chapter 6. All right, so now we move to number 6. So we're moving on. Another conviction to have, I believe, is very, very important. Because we interact with other Christians. You know, not every Christian thinks exactly alike. There are some things with chapter and verse that we all think alike are supposed to. There's other areas where there is no chapter and verse. So at those areas, we apply principles, you see. And not everybody sees the same way as you do. What do you do? Do you get in their face? You make them understand, I'm right, you're wrong. Is that good? Is that the godly thing to do? Okay, listen to number 6, what it says. My activities must never weaken the scriptural convictions of another Christian. Very, very important. Go to Proverbs 28, if you would, please. Proverbs 28. Certainly how I live, what I do, what I say, where I go, I never want that to be a hindrance in the life of another Christian to cause them to do wrong or to sin. I have a responsibility to be a good example, to be righteous in the eyes of God and in the eyes of others. Right? So let your light shine before men, that so they may see your good works, your good works. So where I go, what I do, these are important. And in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 10, it says, whoso causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession. So there are other places that refer to this truth that I have a responsibility. And it's talking about the righteous. So talk about my brothers and sisters in Christ, whether in this church or elsewhere, the impact that I have, that it's to be good, should be a conviction of mine. I will not do something, even if it means me missing out, that will cause somebody to do wrong. See? Though it may not be wrong. We'll talk about that. Go to Romans chapter 14. It was dealt with even back then in the early church. In Romans chapter 14, here are some principles of Christian liberty. You know, the Christian has many liberties. Is no longer under the law. We're no longer dining under the Levitical law. Could I get an amen? The Israelites could not eat pork. The Jew, even unto the day of Jesus, you weren't having a good ham. No bacon. See? Ooh. So, is ham wrong? I mean, God told them, don't eat anything of the pig. And yet we have all this delicious food that comes from the pig today. But God said that. So How do I reconcile that? That was under the Levitical law. The law brought them into subjection unto their God. Jesus freed us from the law. We have liberty. And thank God for our liberty, but may we never use our liberty to cause someone else to sin. Let's read this and we'll make comment as we go. Chapter 14 of Romans says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." Now there's good instruction right there. To argue about things is wrong when it comes to scriptural things. Well, that's wrong. Well, chapter and verse, you can tell them that's wrong. Thou shalt not lie, bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? So it isn't a debatable point. But as we read through, there'll be a couple of times where it says that all things are for peace. Peace, peace that's to be sought. Not an acceptance of sin. Chapter and verse, things are sinful. What about the other things? Eating of the pig, not eating of the pig. Again, that was an issue of that day. Because you're dealing with the Jew. The early church was just Jewish and began to explode among the Gentiles. So it says, for one, verse 2, believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Okay, so here immediately he addresses the issue, one issue of that day. An issue of two different opinions. And the Jew, the Orthodox Jew, would point to the scriptures and say, look, the Levitical law, we can't eat this, we don't eat this, we can't eat this. And this was true. But the Levitical law has been cast aside. We are liberated. We are given liberties in Christ. And now it does, I would refer to the word, it says, who is weak. Now, it said verse 1, him that is weak. And in verse 2, him that is weak. We're not talking about people that have a weak faith. That reference means they don't have an understanding yet. There's not been this knowledge yet. In time, even Paul himself was very rigid in his Jewish faith. And yet he is the one who defends the issue that all foods are fine. Okay? So it's not a matter of being a weak in faith, weak Christian or strong Christian. It's a matter of one being more fully informed than the other one. So understand that. He's not weak because he doesn't agree just yet. Verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. You don't mock at the Jew and said, hang in a strip of bacon. Ha ha ha. We're not supposed to let these issues cause offense and defense and debate and lack of peace cause contention. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Okay, so, all right, you got your strict law here that you grew up with. See? And that's understood. Paul understands. That's the way he grew up. But that's not the case now. In Christ, we are liberated. No longer are we under that law, under that old covenant, you see. And but he says, this group and this group should not argue and complain about the group, neither should one taunt the other. Again, we're talking about meats, foods. There are other issues today that apply. So, verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Okay, so what you're saying here is this very strict dietary believer and this non-strict believer, this liberated believer, that neither one is to judge the other. Don't you know we're free and liberated in Christ, all things are good, and we can't call anything unclean. But the scriptures call it unclean. He just doesn't know yet. He doesn't have the New Testament scriptures. He hasn't had a clear understanding. All right, so what Paul's doing here, he's establishing a principle. God is establishing a principle about Christian liberties, which apply the principles carry from generation to generation, from culture to culture. But here, this was ongoing at the time. This is the one he uses. Verse 5, one man esteemeth one day. So now we're talking about another issue of the day. The many holidays, holy days, that the Jews would recognize. And here we have the Lord's Day. So all of these holidays aren't necessarily the big deal that they once were. Notice, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. This is a key verse, a key phrase in the verse, verse 5 of Romans 14. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. This is the principle. This is what applies. If I do not have a very clear chapter and verse, see? Now, yes, chapter and verse, I can tell you the Levitical dietary law. But I can also tell you in the scriptures, in the New Testament scriptures, that we are under no such covenant. Okay, so, but chapter and verse, I can point to where it says, do not lie, do not steal, do not kill. Okay? That applies. But the other issues, let every man be convinced in his own, fully persuaded in his own mind. I know I have liberty to have bacon. Hallelujah. I have no such liberty. That's wrong. Now, as we'll get to, what he's addressing is the contention that can come between them. And, no, really, good ham is good. Here, take a bite. No. Smell it. It is good. Take a bite. Is that sin for this guy to eat this hunk of ham? Absolutely is. Because he thinks it is. If he acknowledges it's sin before God, he shouldn't do it. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. This guy will sin not when he eats whatever. See? Let's continue. Again, the conviction, number 6, my activities must never weaken the scriptural convictions of another Christian. Okay, so that's not our goal. We're in verse 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. Okay? In other words, the perspective is what he knows of before God. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth and eateth to the Lord, and he that giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. So neither are in sin. So if neither are in sin, who are you to judge that one or this one? Now he's weak in the faith. That's the terminology used here. The application in today's vernacular would be he hasn't understood yet this truth in the Word of God, that we have that liberty. And as long as if he doesn't have that understanding yet, in his own mind it's sinful. So for him to have it. Now, the fact that he doesn't eat ham, doesn't eat anything of the pig, is he sinful? I mean, we're liberated. We can. So if he doesn't, does that make him a sinner? No. He doesn't, thanks to God for what he does eat. And so does this guy. So you see the principle, and we'll carry it into, we'll talk about a couple things even today, issues today. Now, it continues. 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. So, in other words, you're never alone. It's not all about you and your position. Okay? For though we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Okay? Both groups. Okay. Verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge? So Jesus died for both groups here. He died for all men. Whatever their personal opinions are at the particular stage of their life, outside of chapter and verse, right and wrong. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So being warned now. If you're going to look back at him and think he's of lesser Christian because he does or does not something, and vice versa, see, you're wrong. Each one will stand before God. So let him make his decision according to scriptures and principles applied in his life. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Remember that before you attempt to enlighten or force upon bringing him to what he thinks is sinful, but coaxing him into something that he regards as sinful. And the same thing for this side here. You can stand before God. See? Now, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Stop it, Paul's saying. Okay? Yeah, you ham eaters, or you non-holiday observers, you're not in sin. But don't be a hindrance and a stumbling block to these brothers. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. All right, this is a direct revelation from God, as Paul was used as a writer of some 14 books of the New Testament. He got revelation from God. And I know that this is fine. We are no longer under the dietary laws. But to him, verse 14, that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Okay? I sort of led you in a little trap with the question earlier. You know, would this be sin? It is. It would be unclean. Why? Because he thinks so. If I think that blowing up a balloon and popping it is sinful, but the guy holding the balloon here, go ahead, gives me a pin, says, go ahead. But it's sinful. Are you crazy? It's a balloon. There's nothing sinful about this. Go ahead. No, it's sinful. Oh, you can do it. Poop. Did he just commit a sin? He did. He did something that he, in his mind, was an offense to God, was disobedient to God, and he willfully did it. That's why in the book of Genesis, Adam is the one who sin is imputed to. We blame Adam. We don't blame Eve. Who was first? Who ate that fruit first? Girls? Feels good, huh? Feels better? Get it off your chest. She did. But the Bible says that this subtle devil, the tempter, that he came and deceived her. She was deceived. So if this guy says, no, put your hand to the right, to the left. No, he's blindfolded. All right. Now push it forward. All right. Pow! I popped a balloon. I didn't know you had a balloon there. I know that's sinful to pop a balloon. I'm being silly. But the principle. Thought it was wrong to do, but didn't actually make the choice to do it, but was deceived, you see. But now Adam comes along, and he's faced with this decision. He knows she's eaten of the fruit, and the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, God had said. Now, of course, some mockers will say, well, they didn't die the day they did. They died spiritually. They died spiritually. They were condemned to hell at that point. and they died physically eventually. The Bible says to us, so then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Okay? From Adam. Adam's the one. Adam wasn't deceived. He knew this was against the will of God. He wasn't deceived by the devil. But he could not see himself thinking that she was going to die and I'm going to live without her. And so he did go. He went with her, with Eve or God. And he sinned. And sin was imputed unto him. He's the one. We say we inherit sin from Adam, not from Eve. So, again, the temptation. There not to be any tempting or taunting on different perspectives on various issues in life. The issues of this day, certain holidays, or foods. Let's continue. Again, verse 14, again, Paul says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Okay? If you truly believe that popping a balloon is sinful before God, don't you dare pop it. If you're convicted of something, he may not be. I'm not talking about what's clearly in the Word of God. Thou shalt not, or thou shalt. I'm talking about applying biblical principles. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Okay? I'm not to judge him. And so, but if thy brother, 15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, with what you're doing, you're having this ham dinner. Well, of course, it's Christmas. It's Easter. We always have ham on Easter. Now, walkest thou not charitably? See, you're not being conducting yourself in love and peace. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Yeah, nothing wrong with him. It's not sinful. But if a person thinks it is, you don't put it in his nose. You don't invite him over to dinner for, you know, ham and eggs. Breakfast. You're not charitable. You shouldn't judge him. You're causing him to sin in his own mind. 16, let not then your good, which is good, there's nothing wrong with it, be evil spoken of. Don't let it be used for bad. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But there is meat and drink there. But righteousness, and look at that, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after these things, okay? Follow these principles, which make for peace. Be considerate. Be mindful. And things wherewith one may edify one another. So there's the goal. My goal is not to get him to see my side in this area. My goal is to have peace and to encourage him. To grow, a sharing of truth. That's not sinful. Depends on the spirit it's given. If it's in demeaning perspective, mocking, you just don't know. Let me enlighten you. No, but in a spirit of meekness and humility. You know, brother, I was as you were. Isn't that what Paul is doing? I never would eat anything of the pig. But I've come to realize, directly from God, Paul could say, that this is not sin. And I consider it. Consider it. If you're not convinced otherwise, don't do it. But I want you to know, in light of the scriptures of God, it's okay. There was a purpose. Everything God had a purpose for everything about the dietary laws and other laws of the Old Testament. So talk about attitude, getting along with one another, peace among Christians of varying degrees of spirituality, of understanding. So 18, for he that is in these things serveth Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things which may one may edify another. 20, for meat destroyeth not the work of God. It's not that big an issue. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. This would be sin, as long as he has that perspective, that mindset. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he is allowed. In other words, I'm doing it in purity of heart. I either do this or not do that, because I've been convinced fully in my own mind, fully persuaded. This is right, this is wrong. Applying the principles here as I see it. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. All right, so if I go ahead and do it, and I know in my mind, I feel like it's wrong, then don't do it. We use a lot of time here on this particular topic, but I think it's important to note, again, my activities must never weaken the scriptural convictions of another Christian. All right, what about something up to date today? We've got 2 minutes. Going to the movies. Here's an issue of the day before Christians. It's a huge group of Christians say that's sinful. While you're sponsoring, your money is going towards Hollywood and all those things. Okay? Then don't go. That would be sinful. Why? Because you believe that it is. I can say this. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. David said that. Okay, something bad to look at, don't look at it. Whether it's at the movie house or anywhere else. Okay? That's sin. But is a Christian sinful if he goes? I'll ask you. Don't answer. You would be judging. Do you go? That's between you and your God. There are those that believe that going, there's no sin in going, no more than my paying my cable bill and all the garbage that's on my TV. My money is going, you see. But if I sense that that's not right, I shouldn't go. But now if I have no such indication, there is no chapter and verses, thou shalt not go to the movies. You understand what I'm saying? We're applying a biblical principle, see, to practical life. If it says don't, then don't. If it says do, you can do. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Romans 14, verse 5. Okay. Apply that same principle across the board. Ultimately, seek peace with one and another. Don't be contentious. Don't be self-righteous. See? And God can bless us. Let me see if I got more something. I guess that's all we have time for. All right, we only got through one today. But there's more to be had. Father, thank you. And Father, we do pray that through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, we develop our convictions and follow through with them for your honor and for your glory. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.